We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to the Light Years Podcast. We are recording this Sunday at 9 a.m. We don't sleep. Now, what's up, Andy?
Saturday night, sleep at 9 p.m., wake up at 8. Sam's downing coffee. No, I'm excited. Also, we don't do this enough, Sam, but we got to pop our podcast more. Tell the people, you know, if you're already subscribed, go ahead and head to the review section. I think you click the app button, hit Light Year, scroll down. Rate 5 stars, leave a review. And honestly, if you like the podcast a lot, Light Years Premium, right? You get a different version of Sam Sfindiari. You get Sam sources, right? A lot more ranting. Anyway, guys, take care of that. We're recording early. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. But yeah, we've got a good
How about this? We will send a free shirt to the best 5-star review we get in this next week. Ooh. So go ahead, write it up. We have some Light Year shirts coming out. Maybe 3 weeks away from coming out. But yeah, we'll give the best 5-star comments. We might send you a free shirt. All right, let's get this going. First off, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Fun fact, Andy, looking at the Light Years analytics, more mothers listen to Light Years podcast than any other Warriors podcast. Did you know that?
I did not know that. And now I know that's 100% true.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
I read it on the internet. It's 100% true. Okay. So the Warriors beat the Oklahoma City Thunder last night. We're going into the last week of the season. Andy Lue made his return to Chase Center. I want to start there, though. How do you like Chase? They've only been doing fans. What is this? The fourth game?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's still pretty new. Most people haven't been out there with the restrictions. Give us your experience.
Yeah, my experience is that it's pretty easy to get in because there wasn't that many people there. Pretty easy to find parking. Fair amount of people.
Figure when it's 20% capacity.
I know, right? 20 whatever, 25%. The only drawback I think I had of the place was that you can't eat or drink at your seat. And I know people, I think Marcus wrote about this in The Athletic, but it sucks when you're a fan. It's not, I think at media, not that bad because you're not eating or drinking at your seat that much. You're working, right? But as a fan, you want to be able to have a beer or a hot dog or both at your seat. The food's cool. Like the food's pretty awesome.
Right? You don't want to have to miss part of a quarter because you're starving. It's
yeah. And it's like, it's, you know, most people are there. Like you want a drink or a cocktail
right.
While you're watching the game. So that was crappy. The Giants let you do that. I went to a Giants game a few weeks ago. So I hope they change that, Sam, because it's not like we're sitting all next to each other. In my row, there was just one other couple. So it wasn't, and that's across every other row as well. So I hope they change that. The fans were cool though. they had people chanting, a lot of people chanting MVP for both Steph and Smiley. So it was a fun, it was a young crowd. So that was cool.
I would love to know the logic behind why they're not letting you eat at your seat, because eating in the concourse in a section is no safer than at your seat. Like, it's the same type of potential.
You're not next to anyone in the concourse and you're not next to anyone in your seat. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I'm with you. It doesn't make any sense.
Anyway, it's still good to have fans back, and you know, we're all hopeful by next season it'll be back to normal. But with that said, the Warriors on a little bit of a run here. The Thunder are terrible. That was just they're just tanking at an elite level right now. I don't even know how else to put it. Like, I think they played like one player who's 25 years old, maybe. I don't know. Like, you looked at the players out there, they're all like 19, 20, 21. So this is what you expect. This is, you don't win with the kids, as they say.
Well, yeah, the Warriors know something about that. Yeah. Isaiah Roby. Actually, Svi is a little bit older, but you see a lot of younger guys, super athletic, super big. Sam, like, large and athletic, but I mean, just watching him play basketball, it was like watching a high school team. It was, honestly, it was worse than G League. Some of these guys, it was horrific out there.
Well, they have zero shooting, and yeah, they're all just kind of like athletic projects. It's like if we had five Smileys or something on the floor. Well, as I said, the Warriors, via Warriors World, the Warriors are now 11-5 over their last 16. 16 games ago is, of course, when Wiseman went down. And that was on April 10th. So about a month of play without James Wiseman here. Also, in that span, a lot of non-Kelly Oubre. But I think we can use that as like an official marking point to when they kind of switched up what they were doing, went small a lot more often. Yep. A lot more spread pick and roll. So, you know, we can talk about James Wiseman in the big picture, but in the short term, I don't think we have all offseason to have that conversation. So I think I want to focus on where the Warriors are right now and what they can potentially do in the playoffs. So in that 16 game span, the Warriors actually have the best net rating in the NBA. They have the best defense in the NBA over those 16 games, 104.5, which, by the way, it's good, but it's not an amazing defense. It just speaks to how offensive the league is right now. And they have the 13th ranked offense, 114.3 offensive rating, a little higher when Steph's on the floor. But in general, all these indicators that if you play Steph, Draymond with spacing and enough wing defense, you can win games. That's like a coherent strategy.
I'm a little surprised at the 13th ranking. And I don't want to douse this little optimism fest we're having here. But 13th in offense, Sam, is a little surprising to me. You watch them and you're like, okay, that makes sense. Because every minute that Steph doesn't play, and it's not like Steph's playing 40 minutes a game here the last 16 games. But that is a little bit... I mean, we're used to it. We're used to it. It's not a shocking thing.
They just don't have enough offensive talent. They actually are generating pretty good looks from what I can see. But it's like, Wiggins is giving you 20 points relatively efficiently. But given how few bodies they'd have, you'd want him to be, you'd want a player of in that role taking kind of a larger offensive role. I'm looking at the rest of the players here. You know, Kent Bazemore. He's giving you 10 points. He's shooting relatively efficiency, but there's also turnovers and some questionable decisions anytime he dribbles. Juan Toscano-Anderson, he's going to hit a couple open shots, but he's not really a shooter. Looney, not a shooter. Draymond, you know, he's looking to set people up. It all comes back to the fact that they just don't have enough shooting or scoring. You know, Steph during the same span is averaging 38 points per game.
That's
on a 51-47-90 split. The rest of the team, I mean, there's just not enough shooting or scoring ability on the team.
I would like to think Steph can play better than this, but I don't know how much better than this Steph can play in 13th in offense. So anyway, that was a little shocking. The teams that they've played, it's not been that tough, right? We talked about this offseason. The second half of the schedule is when the Warriors are going to go on a run. We wish that they had won more at the beginning of the season. And then they also threw some games away. Like that Minnesota loss I'm looking at here is pretty disgusting. No show against Dallas, pretty disgusting, right? But some of these wins, you kind of expect them you know, out of these 11 wins, Sam, I would say like, I
yeah, like two games against a tank, two games against a tanking Thunder. Like you have to win that.
Well, at the same, all these
at the same time that in that span, they've gotten some great wins. They've, you know, over Philly, over Denver, you know, those are true. Those are games you probably on paper are like, yeah, they're probably not going to win this one, but they did. So I think it evens out. 11-5 in that spell makes sense. It's more of, you know, they lost a couple I thought they were going to win and they won a couple I thought they were going to lose. So, you know, in general, winning at a 60 over a 66% clip is contender worthy, which I don't think this roster is. I just think Steph is playing at a level that no one else in the league is.
Yeah, that's the other part. This guy last night was the Thunder players. I hate to say like they kind of had no heart. I think they were just young and didn't know what was going on. And you're down by 30. Who gives a shit, right? It's Saturday night. They probably just want to get out of there. They had checked out the game and by the second quarter, Sam, it was nasty. But Steph was putting on a show. Typical stuff, right? Like I miss because I haven't been there so long. The fans just kind of start cheering when Steph gets the ball. Like he makes a three or he makes a layup, he makes a three, and then he gets the ball in the backcourt and you start to hear fans go shoot it like like 2 steps before he hits half court, and you're kind of like So there's one situation end of the third quarter, he gets the ball, he's flaming hot, right? He gets the ball, I think he has 49, and so he gets the ball, Draymond gives it to him, 3 seconds left, he actually shoots it from half court, and everybody stands up because I don't know the last time Steph made a half court shot. I don't remember.
It is kind of funny, he hasn't made wild. Any heaves this year
or a while, I think, even.
And I want to say the only thing I can think of that compares to this is like peak Barry Bonds. Do you remember when Bonds was like, you know, peak home run chase in like 2002 and 2003, when he was kind of just playing at a level no one, like where the team wasn't even that good around him, but like anytime he came up, everyone stood up because they wanted to see that bat. That's like anytime Steph touches the ball right now. Mm-hmm. Anytime Steph touches the ball, everyone stands up like shoot it, you know. And I mean, there's a lot of phenomenal players in this league and in a lot of sports, but I'm not sure any of them just get people out of their seat and attract the reverence and kind of just entertain fans the way Steph does.
Saturday night, they're beating the Thunder by 20. We could watch so many other things, and it just felt like, well, it's Steph's getting hot. Who cares who they're playing? Jordan Poole, that was a pretty funny
moment. there was Brooklyn, Denver in a tight game at the same time. On paper, that's just significantly a better matchup, but Steph's more heating important. Up. You want to watch what Steph's doing.
Yeah, no matter what. I think Jordan, when Steph made a couple threes in a row, Jordan Poole had the ball. To be fair, Jordan Poole is an open three. He chucks it. I mean, not only did the players get mad, Sam, I think people saw the players get mad. The fans were just like, come on. I mean, they weren't, Warriors fans aren't the type to say, like, what the fuck, right? They're not really yelling at the guy. But people,
a little bit of a groan.
Yeah,
a little bit of like an internal groan across the arena. Getting back to this. You know, we could talk about Steph all day, and God knows we do, but let's talk about some of the other players during the span, namely Draymond Green. So I'm going to read some numbers to you here. Since Wiseman's gone down, and it's been, you know, Looney plays about 25 minutes a game, which is more than I thought he was capable of. But other than that, it's Draymond at center, 53, 31% from three, 80% from the line, 7.8 points, 9.8 assists, 8.8 rebounds. God, he really loves eights. Another player who has seen an improvement with superior spacing and allowing him to play up a position.
Yeah, you talk about Steph that has the worst spacing in the league. He's gonna get his number somehow, some way. Maybe his efficiency drops a little bit, but he's getting 30. Draymond Green, you're right. Like if he has to play with very little spacing, not only efficiency goes down, it becomes zero, right? It's 1 point.
I mean, he just can't. Like, he can't finish a layup if there's a second man back there. It's just where he is in his career. You know, he's not that athletic. He is kind of quick. He is quick and intelligent, but like he's not finishing over dudes.
No, and he's not finishing over dudes last night. Like he had a couple missed layups against 19-year-old guys, but 19-year-old guys with 7'5 wingspans.
Right.
So it was like it's just not happening.
7.8 points, I think, is funny. I mean, you always talk about 8 points. I do.
Yeah, the Warriors it's are right under. I think they're 18-5 now when he scores 8 points. The point is not that like eight's a magic number. It's just like usually when he gets over 8 points, that means he's actually
magic number. It's like a magic number.
Yeah. It's usually when he gets over 8 points, that means he's being aggressive and taking what the defense gives him, or maybe hits a three or two.
You think he's in playoff mode? Like, his defense has been special. I mean, like, offense has been great, but like, he's ready to play in the postseason.
I think it would be unfair for us to not mention COVID at the beginning of the season,
right?
Really slowed him down. But I also think part of it comes down to the lineups. They're paper thin right now, but what they do have is players who can make Draymond play the five. So to me, this all points to kind of how they need to look at the roster going into next year. Whoever you put next to Draymond better be able to shoot the ball, because if you have another big man inside next to Draymond, that stuff doesn't work with him.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Miles Turner's a good fit, like pretty good fit.
Kelly Olynyk. He's actually playing.
You went one way, I went the other way.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I said he's playing out of his mind with Houston right now. He shoot the ball well.
Kelly Olynyk, he's one of the most frustrating fantasy basketball players too, because he'll do that for a couple weeks. And then the next couple weeks, he'll go into his little 1-for-8 stretches. Right. The worst. I'm frustrated. I get frustrated.
Sounds like personal experience right there.
I'm about to lose the fantasy championship in my league pretty badly. Not because of Olynyk. But you're right. And that's where the Wiseman question comes in. Ethan Strauss, friend of the show, had a good article about the Warriors got to try to make a fit, right? Somehow, some way. And you've harped on James Wiseman just needs to shoot threes this season. 31% from the field, not enough attempts. Chuck him four times a game, right? He has to. It's not like he's Joel Embiid there. In the Joel Embiid should stop shooting as many threes, because Joel Embiid is a monster in the post. James Wiseman, not a monster in the
Embiid
post.
Embiid is like one of three players where I'm like comfortable with them posting up every play.
You know, Embiid, like, Jokic, and who, right? Like KD, LeBron. Maybe. Yeah, LeBron. Yeah, right. You're right. You're right. LeBron. Yeah. So that's it.
Yeah. Everyone else, like, you probably need to limit your post-up attempts because you're not good enough to just kind of slowly back people down there. But anyway, that's a different conversation.
But that's not Wiseman, I think, is the point, right? Like, what you're saying is Wiseman just needs to shoot threes. And that's how he's going to stay on the floor, Draymond. Sometimes some of this stuff with Steve is like, it's necessity. Like, what would the Warriors be better, Sam, if they had 12 players? Like, maybe, but also, like, it's you run the possibility of Steve just playing the wrong guys with 12 guys. He did it earlier this season. He's pigeonholing bigs, right? So part of that, but you always want more
or
players.
Just trying to make it fit. Actually, let's get to this question from friend of the show, Baltez Hoops. What are your thoughts on Kerr's recent run of pressers redirecting shots at the front office ownership when asked about having only 8 healthy bodies? It's kind of to your point.
This one's fascinating.
Steve's a coach. Let's be real. He doesn't want rookies. No coach wants rookies, you know. He wants players who fit, so he doesn't want maybe Kelly Oubre or stuff like that. He wants players who fit the way he wants to play, which is they can either shoot or pass. Everyone wants that. I think that the bigger issue, now we're down to just 8 players on the roster, and he doesn't have a choice with who to play. But he's running into the other thing where it's like these guys, every fourth or fifth game, they look like they're absolutely gassed.
Yep. Yep. He's forced to play Michael Mulder. By the way, the announcer, Chase, calls him Money Mike. God, stop. That's got to go. I don't know why that's the case. He's not Money Mike.
You gotta score 30 in a playoff game to be Money Mike.
Yeah, what is going on there? But he's forced to play some of these guys that just aren't NBA players. Michael Mulder. Even Juan Toscano-Anderson is going to have a bad game, or he's just not going to be good enough to be on the floor sometimes. And he's playing, you know, he's essentially their sixth man, right? Ken Bazemore is a starter. So, yeah, you're right. He's done this before. He's done this before where he kind of not goes at the front office, but he kind of sends messages via media to the front office.
Very Phil Jackson.
Very, yeah. You think it's effective? I mean, they're getting Jordan Bell. Is it matter?
Let's talk about Jordan Bell real quick. I don't know how much it really
you like it.
It's conversation. Yeah. Okay. So they're converting Juan Toscano-Anderson to a full contract. Congrats to Juan. One of the best stories of the year, deserves it. Jordan Bell will come in on two-way, and my assumption is if they like what they've seen from him, they might convert him, just have an extra body in the playoffs. Actually, no, he's not eligible for the playoffs. Huh. Okay. Anyway, do you have any thoughts on them signing Jordan Bell?
Well, if he's not eligible for the playoffs, I probably should have known that. But either way, it doesn't matter. Even if he was eligible for the playoffs,
I'm double checking this now. So
even so, he probably wouldn't play though, right? Like, even if he was eligible for the playoffs, I really doubt that. But I have no thoughts outside of he was a small ball five that I really liked back in the day. So he's like some iteration of Draymond Green that they wanted to run back. Right. That speaks to what the Warriors have always tried to do, is they like their Livingstons and Draymonds and Andre Iguodalas. And they're like, okay, if we can find someone like that, the problem is not a lot of players play that way anymore. So it's interesting. I don't know if he's not even in the league. It's not like he was flourishing somewhere else. He was horrible at different places like Cleveland. That's really tough.
He has one big time NBA skill, and that's the ability to switch everything. He doesn't do it with consistency, but he does have the athleticism and ability to switch one through five, which there's a limited number of players who can do that. His thing is he was just never consistent enough. Like, he's not good enough to play with mediocre effort. He kind of has to be like Juan Toscano-Anderson, diving for loose balls and being the most energetic guy on the court. So it's possible that, you know, kind of bouncing around and being out of the league might be what gets him to play with that intensity he needs going forward. That's why I'm intrigued by it, because we do know he's a scheme fit for what they do defensively, and he's a pretty good rim runner, and you know he can get up and down in transition. So there's like a role for him if he actually plays those ways. The thing with him is, like, I need to see the intensity. It's like in many ways, like Marquise Chris always had NBA talent, but he nearly fell out of the league. Why did he become good with the Warriors? Because he realized he's the type of guy who he can't stay on the court if he's not, you know, playing with high intensity at all times. But when he plays with high intensity, he's kind of effective in certain roles.
Marquise Chris is a good comp. I like that one. Athletic guys. Marquise Chris, I think, is a better player. Problem is, though, Marquise Chris,
he's got a little more skill.
Yeah. A little more skill, shooting ability. Even just bigger. But the thing with Chris, he flamed out in a place that you're okay with him flaming out of, Phoenix, right? It's fine. It's Phoenix. They're a mess. They were.
Well, and he was really young. He was a one and done who everyone knew was like a raw project. Like, he was rawer than Wiseman, basically. Like, that's the type of, like,
right.
Of course it didn't work out in an organization that had no clue how to
don't make that comp. That's too scary. Jordan Bell flamed out of the Warriors and the Dynasty Warriors, which is like, come on, like, that's huge red flag, right? There's a reason for that. The Warriors, perfect situation for him, essentially. Like, he's not getting developmental minutes with the Warriors, but it's a great place just in terms of, like, where to work.
Particularly since they needed him to do two things, and that's it. Like, just switch and rebound and dunk. So I guess three things.
I mean, he did play in the Western Conference Finals, right? Like, he did play, and he was good in those minutes. But just beyond that, he just, like, what happened to the guy? And you're right. Some of his intensity, he just didn't feel like he gave a shit about basketball. Maybe that's changed. Maybe.
Yeah, it was. I mean, everyone knows the Mike Brown candle story. Whatever. That was just right. A guy goofing around. But, like,
right.
Maybe he's got a little more maturity and seriousness to him. I don't know. I think he can play.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's one of those guys who, if he's not playing with maximum intensity, he's not going to stick in the league because the league's too good, you know, and he's not LeBron James, where he can, like, walk through games, you know, like, he kind of has to be the dirty work guy.
Yeah. He's 26 years old. I mean, like, is it
a perfect time for it to click?
Yeah. Figure it out now, or you're playing in Germany with Smiley in a year. So, all right, what's next?
Just a ton of questions about Smiley. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so let's talk about the other player I want to talk about is Andrew Wiggins. Wiggins in this span is averaging 19.7 points, playing excellent defense. A little frustrating he can't pick up more of the offensive load. This team would be infinitely better if he could just do a little more on offense. But if he could do a little more on offense, you know, they would, whatever, right? Like, it goes without saying. I just kind of think he is who he is at this point. What are your thoughts been on Wiggins' full season?
I watched Wiggins last night, and I watched Wiggins in big games against Dallas, against New Orleans. And you know what the funniest part of all these games is? I think Wiggins would play the same if he was playing a high school game. I think he'd average 19.7 points in a high school game. It's just who he is, right? Like, he's going to play the same exact way no matter what. It's good and bad, I think, right? He's not going to be piss poor against great teams most of the time, I think. And I think that also tells me in the playoffs, he'll probably be fine. He won't be completely rattled.
He'll get you that 15 to 18.
I think so.
He'll play defense. It's just like he's probably not going to have the 35-point explosion game.
No. Like, I think even Harry B we saw had one or two of those. I don't think Wiggins is having any of those. So there's good and bad. It's probably not great for this team because they need him to be a little more, but you know, what can you do? We're kind of used to it. I just think he's kind of the same guy no matter what. If he played pickup basketball, he'd be just about the same guy. He's not going out there asking for the ball. He'll shoot the open three. He'll take a couple, you know, tough mid-range jump shots. He'll make some, he'll miss some. It's kind of the same stuff, you know, game in, game out. Whether
he really
it be the Thunder
is
or the Lakers.
A poor man's Paul George. When I think about it, where you're just like, no matter how much athleticism they have, they just love the jumper. Like, it's just never, they're going to defend. They're going to play right within the team. They're going to leave you wanting more at the end of the game every time. Paul George, obviously just better across the board at everything. Like, if Wiggins is a B-plus defender, Paul George is an A defender.
Yeah.
Wiggins is a B shooter, PG is an A shooter. Like, you know, you can go across the board, but it's like, it reminds me so much of like, you have the perfect frame for a wing.
Total package.
You have all the athleticism. You can do everything, and yet you just kind of live on jumpers. And some games they're going in, and some games they're not. And it's a little frustrating. I kind of feel like Wiggins is kind of showing us he can be an effective third, fourth option on a team with like contenderish goals, which is good. At least we know he can play on a winning team. But I just don't think there'll ever be more there.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think the other part I thought of while I was talking about it is even if Klay comes back, I don't know how much better he'd be. I don't think there's this, oh, he's going to average 24 points a game next season. If Klay
plays, Klay's just going to give him more space to go one-on-one and take a fadeaway.
Exactly. Like, I know, I would joke about it, but I think it's true. I think that it doesn't, like, just because there's more space doesn't mean he's getting to the hole all game now. Like, right? Like, I think he's doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, the thing Klay does is, you know, Klay will go off if he's feeling it. Like, Klay gets greedy. If Klay is hot, he's going to, you know, he'll go for 60. We've seen him do it, you know, he'll do that sort of stuff. And like, he has that kind of FU mode that Wiggins doesn't. And now, you know, with Klay, there's a whole, how many minutes can he play and how do you bring him along slowly? But that's a different discussion.
Yep.
At least we know, I think I feel very confident in who Wiggins is going forward. And for me, it's a take it or leave it situation. Like, if they get a trade offer that involves Wiggins that makes the team better, well, then move him. But if they don't, you know, he can fill a role. It's very Harry B in some ways. You know, it's like, it wasn't like Harrison was bad. It was just kind of like, he wasn't good enough that you're like, we can't trade this guy. We can't. Nope. Move. Like, he's just a phenomenal piece. And I think everything we're seeing about the Warriors in these 16 games.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Games shows us there is a coherent way to build a winner around Steph and Draymond. They just need to kind of copy this formula, but with better talent. They need Juan to be like the eighth, ninth man, not like the closing man. They need Bazemore to be 10 to 15 off the bench, not 30 minutes starting. Yep. And that just means getting better talent.
Yep.
But at least now we know. I mean, what's frustrating is I felt like we know this. We knew this before the season. We know what type of players they should be looking at, like what skill sets they should be looking at. Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to Roman.com/lightyears now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/lightyears and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/lightyears and get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/lightyears. Get started now to save $15 off your first month of treatment. I want to talk about it. So last week of the season, standings watch. This is actually really interesting. Right now, the Warriors are in the 8th seed, a half game up on Memphis. They've just played one more game than Memphis and they won it. So the Warriors have 4 games left. The Grizzlies have 5 games left. I should mention San Antonio's in the 10th spot and they're 2.5 back. I'm going to keep San Antonio out of this discussion because I just can't see a way in which San Antonio sneaks from 10 to 8. And the Warriors are 2.5 behind the Lakers in the 7th spot. I also don't see a way in which the Warriors get up to 7. So I think everything is about who's going to be the 8. Is it going to be the Warriors or is it going to be Memphis? And the reason that matters, as we know, if you're the 8 seed, you get 2 shots in the play. If you're the 9 seed, you have to win 2 games in a row. So there is you do want to be the 8 seed just to, you know, give yourself a mulligan game if like everyone just comes out unable to hit a shot in the first game. And knowing the Warriors, give them 2 games, they'll find a way to win one and lose one. So, yep. So let's go through this right now. The Warriors' schedule, they got Utah on Monday, Phoenix on Tuesday, the top 2 seeds. New Orleans on Thursday, who I think their season's done. Zion's out.
Yep.
And then we get the matchup next Sunday against the Memphis Grizzlies, which should be a fun one. The Grizzlies, meanwhile, have 1 extra game in that span. So they're playing 5 games in 7 days. They have an easier schedule, but the extra game could be a big deciding factor, in my opinion. They got New Orleans tomorrow, Dallas on Tuesday. Dallas is going to be tough. Then they got a back-to-back against Sacramento Thursday and Friday. And then they come, obviously, to Golden State the following Sunday. Your initial impressions as I read that to you, how do you feel about the Warriors' chances? Do you think they can clinch this before that Sunday game against the Grizzlies, or do you think everything's coming down to that?
I would prefer it come down to Sunday. By the way, real quick thoughts on the 7, 8, 9 seed playoff seeding. I get it. It makes sense why the Warriors do it that way. I mean, excuse me, why the NBA does it that way, why Adam Silver prefers it. 2 thoughts. Number one, why the fuck does it have to be so confusing? Like, what person that's not a hardcore NBA fan looks at that and says, 7, 8, 9, 10, makes sense. 7 plays 8, and then win, and then loser plays the winner of 9 plus 10. Like, I get it. I get the idea. It makes sense. But Jesus, NBA, like, make something easy for people to understand, right? Number two,
get out in front of it and, like, teach people how. Everyone knows how the wild card round and everything works
that's
in the
what
NFL.
I'm trying to say. Thank you, right? Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, the wild card is easy. Like, everybody gets it. Or if it's confusing, tell people how to understand it. The other thing is market it better. I think it would be cool. Like, LeBron's coming out here saying, like, the thing, like, I don't want to play this game, right? Like, I get part of it's kind of gamesmanship, and LeBron's probably doing it for a reason because that's who he is. But come on. Like, that's the league's best player. One of the
best players in the league throwing a tantrum, and you wonder why people aren't watching.
Yeah, come on.
It's just not a good look. Especially since, you know, his opinion was the complete opposite when they were the 1 seed last year. And everything's like, we have to play this stuff. It's like,
Yeah, like, LeBron knows what it is. He of course he knows what it is. But like the stuff with the, you know, why they, like, what are we doing? Like, could just play the games, please. Like, it's fun. It's cool. I think it's cool, Sam. We're here. We're about to talk about the last week of the season, and it's very exciting. That never happens at the NBA. Extremely exciting. All right, Warrior schedule, Grizzly schedule. I would love for it to go down to the wire. I think looking at the Grizzly schedule, that's really tough. It's really tough. Dallas, back-to-back sack, right? That's the sack's not playing that poorly. Like, that's probably a split. And then going down to the wire on
Dallas
Sunday.
Dallas needs the win, by the way, because they are.
They want to stay in six, right?
They're in fifth right now, but they're, you know.
Portland's in six.
They're playing for seeding just as much as everyone else. So they can't throw it away.
Which is awesome. The Warriors, looking at the Warriors schedule, 4 games left. That's 2-2. I don't care how it goes, 2-2, but they're going 2-2. It's not like they're playing the Thunder 4 times. Utah, Phoenix, I would say, like, there's a chance they lose both of them. And then Pelicans, Grizz tells me, like, they should win both because Pelicans are tanking or they're done. And then Grizzlies, in a, if it's a must win or if it's a seeding must win, like, they're running that game at home, right, with Steph. So
I kind of feel like the Warriors have to split against Utah and Phoenix. They don't have to, I guess.
I agree.
But if they don't split, I guarantee you that Memphis game on the end of the season is going to determine who the 8 seed is.
Which is why I think that's the case. Which is why I think looking at this, I'm just like, yeah. I mean, wouldn't it make sense though, like that this season comes down to whether they play an extra game for sure or not. If they lose, whether that game matters on Sunday, I think it does. I think it does. I think they lose Monday, Tuesday. I think they win against the Pelicans, and I think it all comes down to that game against the Grizzlies. And frankly, I prefer it. Like it's more fun. It's more fun for us. We can do a live show right after.
The Utah Jazz are off today. The Lakers actually play the Phoenix Suns today. So if the Suns beat the Lakers tonight, Sunday night, that would push them within a game of Utah. Worth noting, both Phoenix and Utah are still very much in it in the 1-2 seed. So we don't know which order it is. That is to say, I don't know if we're going to get the last week of the season top seed rest their best guys thing. I think they're going to play those games hard. I think Utah's going to try to win in Golden State. I think Phoenix is going to try to win. If as a Warriors fan, you were kind of hoping maybe those teams were locked in. You got kind of Phoenix's B squad or something. If I had to guess, I don't think that's going to be the case.
If you're Utah and Phoenix, you're playing hard regardless, because as a 1-2 seed, you're used to playing I don't know, whatever teams that are 500. These are not normal 500 teams. It's a Steph Curry Warriors team and a LeBron James AD Lakers team. These are not normal 7-8 seeds, right? So if you're those teams, I don't know. I guess there's nothing you could do. Damn near, you might as well just tank to get to the 3 seed. I don't know. But it's tough for the 1-2 seeds to play against these guys anytime you have to play Steph or LeBron. But anyway, I want to hear your thoughts on the schedules as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it. I just don't see a way in which that Memphis game on Sunday isn't the deciding game for the play-in. Even if the Warriors are up on Memphis, they split the season series 1-1. So the tiebreaker will be determined on next Sunday, the 16th. So it's coming down to that game any way you slice it. Mm-hmm. And who knows? You could see them play again in the play-in, in that second play-in game, literally a week later. So it's going to be interesting. Memphis has got Jaren Jackson back, but he's kind of not up to full speed. Like, he's playing 25 minutes a game now. Memphis is a tricky team. They play really hard. Jaw's good, but I do feel like the Warriors should be able to come out of that matchup victorious. Yep. The Grizzlies do have one major advantage, though. They just own the glass, and we know how the Warriors are with rebounding right now. Let's see. Anything else we want to get to regarding the plan?
It would not shock me if the Warriors just get absolutely – there's one thing I feel like in the play-in game, because I've been kind of optimistic. It wouldn't shock me if they get absolutely blown out by the Lakers in that 7-8 play-in game. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but every time the Lakers have played this season, it's one of the concerning things to me that people are like, oh, this would be great for the NBA, great for the NBA. And just some part of me, Sam, tells me that thing just might be a blowout. It just because of the way that the Warriors always it's the way that LeBron plays these guys. They know exactly what they're running, and the Warriors aren't multifaceted enough at this point for it to matter, right? The last time that they played in a semi-big game, LeBron read every pick and roll and blew up every single decision that Draymond made, because the most important
who knows
part of
what kind of who I mean, currently he has the worst ankle sprain of all time, so who knows?
That's right. That's
who knows
true.
What type of physical shape they're, I mean, legitimately a high ankle sprain is is a problem. So I don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in or what they're going to be in. There's a reason they've fallen off this much. But I also wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors purposely lost it. If getting to the 8 seed meant they got to play Utah, I feel like they'd probably rather play Utah than Phoenix. Maybe I'm wrong.
I like this take.
Maybe I'm wrong, because I just don't think you can like throw away a playoff game and just because you think you can get it back the next time. Like, that would be really risky, right?
Could see Steve Kerr doing that. You know, he's that type of guy to try that stuff. But I mean, I'm with you. I mean, just the playing game is exciting. It's just part of me is just like
single elimination's fun, man. There's no other around it.
No other way. It's the best.
From Gary from the Bay. Who's most important to Warriors' long term future? Poole or JTA?
Poole. I don't know if it's close. Just because I think JTA, you know what you're getting from him the rest of his career.
But I think JTA could be a player for the next 3 to 4 years, which is really what matters to us.
And be a closer.
Steph Curry's, just a high impact guy. It's harder to find those glue guys who can defend multiple positions than it is to find a guy like Jordan Poole. Now Jordan Poole could become a star, but I think I might go JTA on this one.
While you're saying that, I think the question was phrased in the way that it's more for JTA, right? I think long-term, I was thinking more like, all right, who can be the better player long-term for the Warriors? Bringing him into a next kind of...
That's Poole, like, for sure. Yeah. Then.
Yeah. But right. More important, if you're the next 3 years, I think that's what the question is phrased at. Next 3 years, who can help the team win a championship? It's JTA. Because I think it's more likely that Poole's not even on this team. If the Warriors are trying to win a championship in the next 3 years, they're probably trading Poole in a package, right? As just kind of a sweetener with Andrew Wiggins to get a vet player with the picks too. So I think you're right. I think he ends up being a 7th, 8th guy who closes some games next season on this team if they're a contender. And he's playing real, real minutes.
Give me 20 minutes of solid wing defense, smart passes, and hitting just enough open shots. There's a role for a player like that on every team, but particularly for the Warriors, who love to make the extra pass. Having a player who actually understands how to make the extra pass is semi-important. I think in terms of going all in around Steph, you could say they unearthed one gem this year, and that's Juan Toscano-Anderson. They found one role player for cheap who they can carry over to next year, which we know they're going to be in a tough cap situation. So anytime you can find a guy who you feel confident about, that matters. You know, it's a little frustrating they haven't found more, but at least there's one.
Yeah. I don't think we know his contract yet though, right? So
that's no point. Okay. We'll find it out. But let's see, are there any other questions?
Just one here with the Lakers.
I'll avoid that one for right now.
That for premium.
Yeah, what was I gonna say? Okay, there's a lot of questions about the play-in. We kind of touched on this, but it's like, is it better to lose to the, can they beat the Lakers, or is it better to lose the Lakers? I'm gonna start with the first one. They can beat anyone in a single game. All it takes is Steph going supernova, right? Like, and that's why no one wants to play the Warriors in a playing game. You just don't know if Steph's gonna be feeling it, go 12 threes on you in one game, and that's kind of scary. It's like it's literally like a Barry Bonds at bat. You're like, well, he could just hit it out at any one point.
I think Lakers fans feel the same way. They'd be lying to you if they weren't, just to say, well, we've got to play Steph for a game. That thing could be 15 threes. I want to caution some teams are just going to triple team Steph, right? We've seen it so many times. And a lot of these games,
we don't see
the play. Yeah, right. I mean, 100%. I just think there's some of these teams, they're not going full playoff defense. They don't have to. It's the regular season. It's not a life or death situation in terms of a basketball game. So, and the Lakers, you know, LeBron teams are the best at the box and Steph or whatever. Like, they're the best. All they do is just throw three guys at Steph no matter what and make sure that Steph doesn't beat him. That's what LeBron does.
They also have, in theory, the two best big men to switch every screen, Anthony Davis and LeBron. So,
right.
You know, they can get KCP or Caruso up on Steph, and then anytime the screen comes, you know, it's AD switching, which is ideal. But
I also think that in a situation, in a one game situation, do we believe that Steve Kerr doesn't just like, he's going to spend a quarter playing that motion offense. Like I really, really doubt that the team comes out in a play-in situation and Steve Kerr has him running pick and roll, or just have him running a type of offense that is like a, hey, a win now offense. Like I think they come out and they're running whatever the motion stuff that they've run forever.
Yeah.
Like and that throws away a quarter or throws away a quarter and a half in a playing game. And that becomes tough. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but I think that's kind of what I foresee in a series. Would love to be wrong though. But I think that becomes easier though, when you play against the, whatever the 9-10 guys are, right? Let's say they play Memphis in the second play.
Yeah, because Memphis, I like a lot of Memphis players, but they struggle to score the ball. They're not exactly they win a lot of games through toughness, defense, and rebounding and all those things. They're not a team who's going to score 130 on you. So, I think ultimately it's better for the Warriors to get into the first matchup, though, because I feel pretty confident about them making the playoffs to get two cracks at it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
One crack at it, you just always leave the chance of something weird happening. So ultimately, it's good. We're going to leave it there. Everyone enjoy your Mother's Day. We will be back after Monday night's game against the Utah Jazz for Locker Room. We will be pretty much going live after every game through the playoffs.
Yep.
Five stars.